Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into the morass, the shadowlands of BS, which is bait and switch, or perhaps you have another definition of it. In either case, I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and it's always my joy and delight to be here with you for this research, this pilgrimage, this deep dive into the subject of love. Love alone is credible. Love alone is that which will bring about the kind of spirituality we're all, I think, in some form or another, we're all hungry for. So get comfortable, set back, and join me for the next half an hour of your life and time. And by the way, thank you for giving me a slice of your life, a little thin slice of your life. It really blesses me when people come along and say, hey, I listened to you the other day, made me think. See, you don't have to agree with everything I say, but I would like for you to think. Thinking is good. It's good for the brain. It's good for the heart. Good for society if we learn how to think. I'm not here to tell you what to think. I'm here to give you tools as to how to think. So we do a few things on the regular here at the No BS Bishop. One of those things that we do together to start off is we recite together Love's Creed, something I wrote a little over a decade ago as something to just keep me moving in the right direction. I wrote it as a New Year's resolution. Never thought it would be much more than that, but I edited it over time, and finally, it really grew on me, my own words, imagine that. It grew on me, and I thought, this has value. I want to share it with people. So here I am, sharing it with people. So we'll do the Lord's Prayer right after Love's Creed. I'm going to have to learn how to separate Love's Creed from the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is a touch more important than my little creed. I say that with some degree of sarcasm about my own attitude here. Anyway, we're starting with Love's Creed. Then we'll go to the Lord's Prayer. So as to Love's Creed, it's important for people to know what they believe, say what they believe, not necessarily for others, perhaps you might, but for yourself. Let your ears hear what your heart is saying and assimilate it, meditate in it, and make it a part of your living. So I'm going to give you Love's Creed in short bursts. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me and let your ears hear your heart's commitment. And then I just know that it's important to read it in total as well. All right, so here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now there it is in total. Let's go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I know I wrote it. I know it's mine, but I love it. So bear with me. Just bear with me a little in my folly. Those words are a good standard, a good basis upon which to stand your life and to keep your life moving forward in some direction. I like to tell people love is not a once-for-all arrival, and if you think it is, then you're missing out on large chunks of the beauty of love. Love is a lifelong pilgrimage. It's something to aspire to be inspired to, and let your light so shine that others may see that light and give God glory. And the greatest light of all, I think, is love. Now, to the Lord's Prayer. I said earlier, I got the Love's Creed and Lord's Prayer blended together, and I don't know, it's not a bad mix. I just got to make sure you know, I know, the Lord's Prayer is vastly more important. This is the prayer of Jesus taught to his disciples. It's the most prayed prayer in human history. It's so valuable that I know that people have based their spirituality, their recovery in some cases, on the Lord's Prayer. So whatever the case may be, it is such a valuable piece of spiritual exercise that will help keep your mind situated in the right way. It's a good filter for me, I know that. Not a day goes by, but what I pray the Lord's Prayer to keep Randy Dean straight and narrow in my walk through life. So, if you know it, join me. If you don't, just listen in and agree along with me in the words that our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Keep your mind focused in things just that valuable, just that significant, and you will you'll live a better life. You'll live a life of much more lightness. And I mean that in terms of illumination and lightheartedness, all right? My topic for today is the hardest spiritual work of all. Yeah, that's the topic. The hardest spiritual work of all is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, those words are not original to me, but they are Barbara Brown Taylor's quote that I've used here a few times. But it is valuable to recognize that spiritual work isn't about fixing, managing, controlling. And again, you've heard me say before here, if you've listened earlier in this year, that fixing, managing, controlling, recruiting, all those things that sometimes we church people get wrapped up in, that's just codependency. That's just trying to work on other people and not live a life that's been worked on in our own garage, where we put our own life in the repair shop, lifted the hood on our life and looked on the inside and said, hey, what's making this thing run or not run? And that's me, not me looking after you, lifting the hood on your car, especially without your permission, and saying, you know, your car's not running right. You got to do this, this, and that, the other. No, that's not spiritual work. That's intrusion. That's codependency. That's telling people how to live their life, when really our lives as spiritual beings have to do the heavy lifting, the hard run, the sprint of life isn't just a quick quarter mile run. But the marathon of life is found in love. That's the hard work of spirituality. It is to be a person of intentional and completely involved love. To love life, St. Francis of Assisi one time said, learn how to love every grain of dirt, love every leaf, love every breath you take, love every soul you see, love every animal you encounter, On my way here today to record, there were two squirrels darted out into the city street in front of me, and I lightly tapped my brake just to give them space to make it across. And you know how squirrels are in that regard, right? They're darting back and forth, and fortunately for the little squirrels and for me, I didn't run them over. So I love those little furry buzzards. I mean, they're not a whole lot good for this world, I suppose, other than entertainment. Well, they entertain me. But my point here is I love those little beasts. And St. Francis of Assisi taught that we should love every beast, every dirt, every leaf, every flower. Love the breath you take. And then especially, above all things, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the hardest spiritual work right there. It's the most rewarding spiritual work, and that is to demonstrate, live, and create opportunities for love to be the real master of who we are. I'm a great fan of a Franciscan monk by the name of Richard Rohr. Richard Rohr, he's written several books. One has just really, really moved my life forward in so many ways I can't even count today. Falling Upward, I was reading that a few years ago, and more than a few years ago. I read Falling Upward about 7-8 years ago, started reading it, read it two times, and literally changed my life, changed the trajectory of my life to where I'm at today. And it's one of the reasons we're here doing this, the Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. Anyway, Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest and a mystical man of faith. He wrote this quote, and I'm going to work this over today with you. I want you to hear it carefully. If love is the soul of Christian existence, it must be at the heart of every other Christian virtue. Thus, for example, justice without love is legalism. Faith without love is ideology. Hope without love is self-centeredness. Forgiveness without love is self-abasement. Fortitude without love is recklessness. Generosity without love is extravagance. Care without love is mere duty. Fidelity without love is servitude. Every virtue is an expression of love. No virtue is really a virtue unless it is permeated or informed by love. Whew! Talk about the hardest spiritual work. Every word there puts my mind to attention, to pay attention. Hey, and by the way, when I shared with you Love's Creed, I want to remind you, if you want a copy of that, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, lowercase, @gmail. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up here is if you'd like this quote from Richard Rohr, I'd be happy to send that to you as well. So whether Love's Creed or this heavy laden quote by Richard Rohr, give me a shout by email and I'll get that to you. But Richard's point is that every virtue, every activity of the Christian faith, all spirituality has its taproot in love. And if it doesn't, well, then those activities become some kind of legalistic ideology that can really serve us badly. In fact, move us in ways where we become arrogant and what I and many others call Bible thumping. Well, the Bible says this and 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 this. Well, yeah, the Bible says a lot of things. And one of the things that we better know about the Bible is that if we don't say it and live it in love, well, then the Bible just becomes a ball peen hammer that we're hitting people over the head with. The Bible was never given for us to control other people's lives, but the Bible was given to us in its entirety over hundreds of years of construction and writing by 40 plus authors and 1400 years of sorting and writing and editing. The Bible was given for one law. Jesus said, by this, all men will know you're my disciples indeed. And in fact, he said, all the law, all the prophets hang on this one thing. Well, all the law and all the prophets, well, that's the Bible. The Bible hangs on one thing, love. And if we do not have love, all that Bible thumping and quoting we do is without merit. Again, this priest, this marvelous Franciscan priest by the name of Richard Rohr is telling us, if love is the soul of Christian existence, it must be at the heart of every other Christian virtue. So love is what creates the fire for the engines of our spirituality. Love is what maintains our vision for a better world, a better life. I was just having a conversation with somebody about how we evangelicals, and I used to be one to the core, we used to have these long drawn out altar calls where we just gave people this tightened vice-like grip of understanding, are you going to heaven or hell? All right, now I want you to think about it, close your eyes and bow your head. Now, if you were to die tonight, if you left this church or this crusade or whatever meeting you're in and walked across the street and some truck drove by and ran you over and killed you, when you die, where is your destiny? Will you go to heaven or hell? And if you want to go to heaven, keep your eyes closed and lift your hand. And then they would say, all right, good. Now stand to your feet. And with everybody looking, if you lifted your hand a minute ago, come on down. Well, that's my adage of being baited and switched. Of course I don't want to go to hell. Of course people in their right minds don't want to go to hell. Because, by the way, most people are already living some form of hell in their disappointments or their physical pain or their psychic pain or their psychological brokenness or their addictions or their anxieties, whatever else the case may be. Hell is a very real possibility for everyone living and walking this world right now. We all want something better, don't we? Well, guess what? This spiritual work isn't about driving people into a decision that gets pressured by some bait and switch. No, this spiritual life is about learning to be a lover. So I was telling somebody just a few moments ago, I said, my priority in any kind of gathering like that, if I were to join people into a decision, I would say, let's all stand to our feet with our eyes open, our heads held high, and can I just ask you this question? How many of you want to live the best life possible? Well, I would guess that most people would raise their hand. I know I would. And then I would say, good for you. The best life possible is a life lived for love alone. Now get up there and get out there and do something beautiful, because ugly's getting done to death. Yeah, my tagline. Now don't go out there and let your light shine with the love of God burning in your heart. Love every morsel of food you eat. Love every person you greet. Let love be the fire of your heart. Richard Rohr, again, his quote is absolutely impossibly beautiful. And I mean impossible because it is as deep as it is wide, and it's centered in every virtue we try to live. It's a centered proposition to know that when we have love, then all the other virtues like patience or generosity just virtue, to be a good person, to have love in that and to be the firestone of virtues, love gives it all a purpose. Love is that which absolutely fuels every other virtue. So to bring this to a true point of reference for me, it is to ask you to join me in this hard work of spirituality. No, not the hard work of being a good person, but the hard work of being a loving person. The difficulty, the heavy lifting, the significance of turning off hatred, turning off bitterness, turning off judgmentalism, turning off the need to control other people, shunning from our own way of priorities, that then I've got to somehow or another convince you that I'm better than you, or I'm smarter than you, or I'm more spiritual than you. See, none of that comes from love, does it? All of that comes from what I believe is just codependency, which is an addiction. It's a psychological addiction, just as it's just as evil and bad and destructive as any drug or a glass of alcohol you'd ever drink. To be trapped in fixing, managing, controlling, renting, using, taking people into your little path of managing them for your own purposes, that's addictive. And that becomes a life that is lived for broken purposes. But the life that is lived for the beauty of love is the life that is a spiritual life. Because, see, if I love, if I genuinely, truly love, if I'm wrapped up in this Love's Creed thing, I'm alive to love, not eating, drinking, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. If love is the engine of my vehicle, well, then my purpose in life gets fulfilled by love. How I interact with people is an interaction of love. People around me are feeling better, even if I don't say a word about how they should feel better. People around me are managing life just a little better because I'm sitting in their room, sitting in their office, sitting in their kitchen, walking through a grocery store line or whatever the case may be, and I'm letting love be the purpose of why I'm hanging all around in this world. Love, the dynamism of love. Love, the structure of how human relationships function. Love, it's the container of how to manage how I'm looking at politics, how I'm looking at my church, how I'm seeing my country, how I'm seeing my neighbor, how I'm seeing my enemies. Again, the hardest spiritual work is love. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself and your enemy. He could have just stopped at my neighbor. That would have been hard enough. But now Jesus is imploring me, drawing me out of my own selfishness, out of my own cave of self-pity and misery, and he's asking me to love my enemy. Well, thanks for that, Jesus. All right, we'll get about the hardest spiritual work. I usually quote Mother Teresa as a last few words from here, but I want to go to Mother Teresa's quote a little early as I'm wrapping this up. Because Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence, now just stop there for 1 minute. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now here's something that's been of great challenge to me in my life. My presence. Is my presence a positive or a negative in any given situation? Now, please hear me carefully. I'm not saying that I got to go in there and recruit or manage everybody else around me, but I'm managing me. I'm recruiting me to a life of love. To that end, my presence. So if I walk into and my favorite place of business to stop for gas and coffee is Quick Trip. Thank God for Quick Trip. I want to make sure when I approach the parking lot that I'm not racing to beat somebody to the best parking space. I want to make sure that when I go in the door, that if there's somebody coming out, I'm going to hold the door for them to make their way out. Or somebody behind me, hold the door and let them go ahead of me. You get my point, right? Love. Love is that hard work. Love makes sure that I'm simply living life in the vein of a positivity and an energy that is creating something of a presence in any given room or any given business or any given place that I arrive. Spirituality is a presence. I've been around a few genuinely spiritual people, and I can tell you, when I'm in their presence, whether they speak to me or not, I'm a better person because I was in their presence. I've made it my goal to be so full of love. You might say, I'm reaching to be full of it. And what I want to be full of is love. So that people know when you've been around Randy Dean, there was love. Whether he said anything or not, love was in the room. Now you put your name in there. Was love in the room when you entered? All right. Now for real, I do need to bring this plane in for a landing. We close here with a couple of exercises, and one is to breathe well. I want to invite you on the count of three. Take the deepest, most healthy breath you can. Hold it down up against your belly, down to your diaphragm, and let it hang on for just a second. On the count of three, deep breath with me. One, two, three. Inhale. Now hold it there. And exhale. See, one of the reasons we're not always aware of our presence is we're not always aware of our good breathing. We're shallow breathing, or we're just breathing with no real thought in mind as to why am I breathing? Why am I eating, breathing, and sleeping? Well, it's for love. Second exercise we do here, it's very much attuned to everything we just did, that we just talked about. It's learning how to get past the awkward nature of saying the three most beautiful, holy, and charmed words in the human language. Saying those words with real connection. Saying those words with eye contact. Saying those words with real meaning cooking on the inside of us. Those three words, and you know what they are. These are the words that change us, and they can change others as well. I love you. We're taught in the scriptures that every day is a new day. The mercies of God are born brand new every day, as if there was never any need for God to forgive any sin anywhere. And every day God wakes up, I believe, and looks at all his creation and all his children and all his little diamonds in the rough out here. And he says to all of us, I love you. I want you to learn how to do that. I want you to learn how to practice that. Look in the mirror, say it to yourself, say it to a stranger, say it to your significant other, your wife, your husband. Say it though, and make it a part of your daily priority. Somewhere somebody's going to hear me say, I love you. Somewhere, somehow, I'm going to make sure that every room I enter has been introduced to the presence of love. So, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And Mother Teresa, go into all the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence, light new light in the hearts of others. And now Bishop Randy Dean is saying to you, go out there and do something beautiful. Why? Because, oh baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for the people of love to rise and shine and turn the world toward the beauty of the love of God. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.